Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Ford Motor Company's fourth quarter 2022 earnings call. With me today are Jim Farley, our president and CEO, and John Lawler, our chief financial officer.
Hello and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodie and I am your host, and we have Ford's Q4 2022 earnings call. And man, was it an interesting one. I was actually not looking forward to doing this earnings call. I was like, Ford really hasn't done much of anything. Maybe they'll talk about the EV pricing wars. But no, it was actually very interesting, I thought. So I hope you enjoy it. Before we get into it, I just want to remind you that my other podcast, Shuffle Playlist, I have a link in the show notes. And on this, the latest episode, we talk about the song Sabotage as covered by Korn and Slipknot. Now, I am not a big Slipknot fan. I'm not a Slipknot fan at all, actually. But I do like Korn a lot. And I really like the Slipknot singer's voice. I just don't know any Slipknot songs. But take a listen. It's less than 10 minutes. I think it's about 7 minutes long. It's not very long. So I'll put the link to that in the show notes. Also, on other podcasts that I'll be on the latest episode of NoSillaCast with Allison Sheridan, I did some extra interviews at CES. On the latest episode of NoSillaCast, I talked to the folks at Psionic, which is a company that builds bionic hands for amputees. It was a really cool interview. And then next week, Allison will release the other two interviews that I did at CES. And honestly, this is a month ago. I don't remember what they were. One was a company that could measure your brain waves and determine if you're at risk of Alzheimer's or dementia, which honestly, that's a dubious claim, but they have data to back up that they were like 90-something% accurate. But and then the other one, the third one, I actually forgot. I've been racking my brain. I don't remember what it was. And I already deleted the files, so I'll have to go back and look at that. But anyway, go to podfeed.com and subscribe to the NoSillaCast podcast. And Allison's got a bunch of other stuff on there. And I do want to say that Allison and Bart Bouchatz did a Security Bits segment. And I love these segments. One, because I really like Bart and Allison, and I like them together. They make a good team. But two, you learn a lot about security and what's going on in the world of cybersecurity. So I highly, highly, highly recommend it. All right, let's go ahead and jump into Ford's Q4 2022 earnings call. We're going to start off with Jim Farley's opening remarks. And opening remarks as it relates to EVs, I left a little bit in there about Ford's overall business because that was kind of a big part of the call, and I thought it was important to leave in there. So let's go ahead and listen.
I'll start by addressing the obvious. Our fourth quarter and full year financial performance last year fell short of our potential. And while we generated record cash flow, we left about $2 billion of profit on the table due to cost and especially continued supply chain issues. These are the simple facts, and to say I'm frustrated is an understatement, because the year could have been so much more for us at Ford. Now, I know the question you must be asking. Why Ford, with that incredible product lineup and all the restructuring overseas, why aren't you delivering higher profits and more competitive margins? And it's the right question. So let me share my perspective. With Ford Plus Plan, we are executing a double transformation. While we're making progress, it's hard work. As with any transformation of this magnitude, certain parts are moving faster than I expected, and other parts are taking longer. At this point in our journey, I did not expect to be number two in EV sales in the U.S. I didn't know that Lightning would be completely sold out, and I didn't predict that Blue Cruise would be the best hands-free autonomy system in the market. Now, we're going to future-proof this business by leading the commercial electrification solutions as well, both at E-Transit and F-150 Lightning today. E-Transit is already America's top-selling electric van with 73% market share. 60% of all of our U.S. fleet managers plan to add an electric vehicle within the next 2 years to their fleet. And that's even before the $7,500 IRA tax credit that was announced and applies irregardless of the location of raw materials or batteries. And in quality, we have work to do. Ford has been the number one in recalls in the U.S. for the last 2 years. Clearly, that's not acceptable. We've overhauled our entire enterprise quality operating system, and we are already seeing improvements in initial quality for vehicles coming out of our plants here in North America. And Model E, it's operating with a startup intensity to build profitable EVs with differentiated industry-leading portfolios that customers are going to love. In the U.S., our EV sales growth is twice the rate of the EV segment, and more than 60% of our Model E customers are new to Ford. The F-150 Lightning has been America's best-selling electric pickup since it launched, and the Mustang Mach-E remains a huge hit for our customers. We remain on track to reach our annualized EV production capacity of 50,000 units per month, or 600,000 units globally by the end of this year. For reference, in the fourth quarter, our run rate of production was more like 12,000. So 50,000 is a big growth. And by the end of, and we are on plan for that 2 million units of incremental capacity by the end of 2026. Now, to deliver this incredible growth, as we speak, throughout facilities in North America, we're adding shifts, expanding our facilities, building out new battery capacity and assembly capacity. Construction is in full swing in Tennessee and Kentucky on our Blue Oval City and our three Blue Oval SK battery plants. And in Europe, we're moving ahead with a new commercial vehicle battery facility in Turkey. Now, critical to our plan is securing the necessary raw materials for these batteries to get to that 2 million unit rate, especially lithium and lithium hydroxide and nickel. We expect to have 100% of raw materials we need for that 2 million unit run rate secured by the end of this year. Now, we are deep in the development of our second generation EVs, including our next generation electric full-size pickup, which, by the way, is awesome. These EVs will be fully software updatable. That means a brand new electrical architecture, and they're going to be radically simplified. Imagine three body styles, each with volume potential of up to 1 million units and just a handful of orderable combinations. That's what we're doing at Ford for the second generation of products. And that means higher customer sat, better quality, lower bill of material, and lower manufacturing costs. When we start reporting according to these new segments in the fourth quarter, you're going to have complete visibility into Model E's margin trajectory and understand the key levers to achieve our Model E EBIT target of 8%. We're already making the customer buying experience better with less friction. Now, this is only going to accelerate when the new Model E dealer program takes effect in January next year. This program has been adopted by nearly two-thirds of our 3,000 U.S. dealers, and it's based on a radical redesign on our customer experience. Next January, we'll be selling EVs in high volume with virtually no inventory, a simple e-commerce platform for our customers, non-negotiated price set by the local dealer, and remote and pickup and delivery for all customer experiences. We're also expanding Blue Oval Charging Network at all of our dealers, and we'll have dealer staff trained not only on software, but all the EVs. Now, I've said before, software and experiences will be the key differentiator for our industry. I mentioned earlier that BlueCruise, our driver assist hands-free technology, was just tested by Consumer Reports and judged the best hands-free autonomous system on the market. Just let that sink in for a while. The best on the market. Now, have you not experienced BlueCruise? I challenge you to go out and do your side-by-side comparison with our two major competitors. And at the end of last year, our customers using BlueCruise have now traveled 42 million hands-free miles. So we're scaling incredibly rapidly. That's a four-fold increase in the millions of miles since the second quarter of last year. And we have incredible software talent making this system better every day, including those 600 former Argo engineers who are now working full-time at Ford on our autonomous systems. Now, before I hand it over to John, just a few things. Ford's a different company today. We're all about building a stronger customer-focused business that generates sustainable, profitable growth and returns above the cost of capital. While our 2022 results fell short of my expectations, I've never been more excited about our future because we have the right plan, the right structure to succeed, the best team on the field, and real strategic clarity. This year is about execution. It's time for us to deliver, and we will, with relentless attention to our founding principles, thrift and growth. And we are hitting the ground running.
All right. I thought that was a pretty decent opening remarks from Jim Farley. I don't have a lot to say about this other than I was a little bit surprised to hear that E-Transit has 70% of the market. Maybe it was 70% of the van, the electric van market as far as, you know, utility vans go, but they can't have 70% of the whole van market. That doesn't utility van market. That doesn't make any sense. Also, just kind of as a side note, Mercedes has started producing their Sprinter vans, their electric Sprinter vans. So Ford's going to face some competition there. Ford was number one in recalls and had a lot of quality issues. So that was surprising to me, actually, especially since they kind of called out Tesla, Jim Farley did, on some quality issues that Tesla had. Ford had number one in recalls. That's a little embarrassing for the company. They're building out the EV infrastructure. They talked a little bit about the next-gen full-size pickup. And I have a question for the really smart folks who are listening to this show. What do you think that full-size pickup is going to be? Is it going to be an updated F-150 Lightning? Is it going to be a replacement for the Lightning? You know, something kind of in that realm, but different? Or is it going to be a heavy duty pickup truck? Full size kind of leaves out the Maverick and the Ranger. As far as I know, they're not full size pickup trucks. So I'm interested to see what they're up to. My guess is the heavy duty pickup, but because they mentioned the heavy duty pickup truck several times and how they're excited about the, about where that truck's going. So that's my guess. All right, next up, we have just a few words from John Lawler, the CFO of Ford, and their struggles. He actually talked for quite a while, but I didn't include all that. I just kind of included what I thought was important and what captured the essence of this earnings call. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
As Jim pointed out, our performance in 2022 was below our expectations, and our industrial platform is frankly not where we need it to be. A simple way I measure this is by looking at our cost of goods sold as a percent of revenue, and then compare it to our competition. You've all done it. We're much higher. And this speaks to the significant operating deficits we have in product development, manufacturing, and procurement. And this is no different from the tough capital allocation choices we made about our geographic footprint and product portfolio. Choices designed to yield higher quality growth and improved returns. And we are now applying that same level of discipline to our industrial platform with urgency. In China, we posted a loss of about $600 million driven by increased investment in EVs. Lincoln continues to be our profit pillar in the region, but clearly we have more work to do to ensure our business is growing, sustainable, and delivering appropriate returns.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
So John Lawler, very contrite. Jim Farley, very contrite in their demeanor. It sounds like Ford did not have a very good year in terms of efficiencies, and they have a lot to improve upon. This earnings call kind of reflected that a lot, actually, throughout the whole thing. They took responsibility for how the company did in 2022. And one of the things I noticed is that when the F-150 Lightning came out, they're very cocky and they were kind of punchy towards Tesla. They were not punchy towards anybody on this earnings call. They had the right attitude. They didn't blame anybody. They took responsibility for it. And I don't know. It was kind of refreshing to see, honestly. In our next clip, we are going to hear what happened to Ford this quarter or this year in 2022 in John Lawler and Jim Farley's own words. So let's listen to that.
Hey, Jim. Hey, everybody. I appreciate the humility and the self-criticism and the spirit of that on the cost and the execution shortfall. It's kind of refreshing to see that. But, you know, when you begin the description about it and how frustrated you are, Jim, and how it's not good enough, I was getting all excited to hear some details. And there's just not a lot here, okay? I'm just going to say there's not a lot of details at all about what exactly the problem is and what you're doing about it and how much get better this year. You can disagree if you want. That's just my impression. I want to know what it is. And because $2 billion on the table, frankly, that's 130 bips of margin. I mean, that's going to go to the consumer anyway. So tell us that's just the beginning and there's way more to go. Do we have to wait until May for that? Or is there anything else you can tell us to help model the company in the year ahead and what you're doing about it? Appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam. No, there's a lot more to go. And, you know, the industrial system at Ford is a huge opportunity for us. And we have spent the last several months really getting deep on where we need to go. So John, maybe you could share what we're feeling comfortable on sharing, but you're going to hear a drumbeat from Ford on this all during the year.
Yeah. So, Adam, I think if you just step back and look at the three elements of the industrial platform, there's opportunities across each. If you look at our product development system and our engineering, the level of productivity that we have, so think about a dollar of input and what you get out for that dollar of input, is probably about 25 to 30% inefficient. So we should be either getting more product through the pipeline or our cost should be significantly lower. Now, we have to be very smart about how we go about doing that because we've got incredible products in the pipeline and there's a huge opportunity on that front, but we also have to balance the quality as well. And so when it comes to our engineering, I think you should think about it that way, and that's what we're going after. Our supply chain, there are issues across the supply chain. It cost us, as we talked about last year, at least $1 billion in premiums that we had to pay, increased freight, premiums on chips, premiums on disruption that we caused our suppliers because our schedule stability was probably worst in class. And fixing that and the root cause that gets to that will drive incredible opportunities for us. And let's say that for 2023, it should be at least an incremental $1 billion, at least. Uh-huh. And then when you look at our manufacturing system and you go through our plants, you look at the level of working capital we have in, you look at our production schedules, you look at the complexity and what it does for the time that it takes us to build a vehicle, and you understand just how inefficient that is. And then you bring that back through, that complexity back through the supply chain, and you talk about the number of changeovers that our suppliers have to make to produce the complexity that we have and the time that that adds to production and the time that it adds to cost and the issues that it drives through. So those are just some of the tip of the iceberg of the things we're going after. And then if you go back and you look at it, as I said in my remarks, just you look at the math and you look at our cost of goods sold relative to our revenue and then compare that to traditional OEMs, let alone the new OEMs, and you see the size of the prize that we're going after. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's changed, Adam? I think the answer is we just have to show you guys. I mean, that's where we're at. We have to deliver it. But as Jim said, as we're taking this lean approach and getting into it, there's a very systematic way we're going at it now, and we are very focused, and we know that this is the number one thing that needs to get fixed in the first part of our transformation.
And Adam, I'd just like to add, you know, as a CEO, there's a lot of choices. They're all very consequential. When it comes to the approach to do this, the most important thing for me is that it's sustainable. When you look at Ford, we have cut in the past and it grows back, or we have cut everywhere and not really focused on the industrial system. So for me, the approach that we're taking that's very different and very difficult is that it has to be daily work. Gaps to competition, countermeasures, action plans for those countermeasures, constant evaluation of the effectiveness of those countermeasures, celebration of those KPIs and our status in daily management. It has to be a more fundamental approach than holding our breath or dealing with the output like people and getting into the real industrial systems efficiency. And that is a cultural change as a leader. It's a behavioral change. It is not just a program.
I really like hearing this. I really feel it. I don't know. Maybe, you know, Jim is a really good actor, but man, I believe him. I like Jim Farley. And I don't know if I said this earlier in the podcast or not, but this is a guy that I really feel like you could just go out and have a beer and just talk. Like if I ever had him on the show, I feel like it wouldn't be like having a CEO on the show because I've done that before. And I don't know if you know, I don't know if you noticed, I didn't like it that much, but I think I'd like to have Jim Farley on the show. Jim, let me know if you're interested. Next up, we are going to hear one of the analysts asks if it maybe makes more sense if they just kind of pare down operations around the world, like stick to what makes you money in that region.
I mean, you know, you'd mentioned, Jim, about scrubbing things foundationally and really getting to, you know, some costs that are excess. And I appreciate, you know, the three areas you've highlighted. But as we look around the world, I mean, Europe is, had fits and starts of making us all kind of excited that it's going to work. And then it doesn't, you know, from time to time. And, you know, China, you kind of been chasing yep. you know, competition there, and it hasn't really yep. paid out for you. But there are two very important parts of Europe and China that are very strong for you. Commercial vehicle in Europe is incredibly strong. So could we just strip Europe back to pure commercial vehicle? And could China just strip back to pure Lincoln, two places we know you're making money, and cut out the other stuff so that you can actually fund the transition that you're talking about? I mean, it just, you know, we kind of all dance around this stuff, and you know, you've headed in this direction with the global redesign, yep. but there's real opportunities here to be really profitable.
No, you hit on it. And I'm glad we're getting into some of the strategies. I mean, I would think of China business similar to what we've done in South America and IMG. Small but profitable. Focused. You know, we've been in the past in China kind of small but focused on everything. And Lincoln and our commercial with JMC is very profitable and an important business. But they have to make the EV transition. And, you know, I don't think you can be globally successful in the EV business if you don't compete with the Chinese. I mean, they're going to come to Europe. They're already there. They're going to come to the U.S. BYD is a powerhouse. Geely, there's so many others. And so we believe China is very strategically important for us. But to win there, we have to make those businesses transition profitably to EV. But I would think of it as kind of small and focused, maybe. You know, even more than past. And Europe is definitely, you know, we have a great CV business, commercial vehicle business that now is getting electrified. So we're like making that transition now. We have a new Ranger, the electric version of Transit, one-ton Transit, and all of them. We have a new manufacturing site in Romania that's really scaling up now in commercial. So we have a really strong business. And the decision really is, How much do we need? How many engineers? How many people do we need in Europe? And how big of a profile do we need in passenger cars? That's the decision. We've already, you know, electrified Cologne, and that's really the decision. It's not the right time to talk about where we're going to go, but we know exactly our strength in Europe, and we know what we need to do. So, and you won't have to wait long to hear from us on these things.
First of all, it sounds like they have a plan. Sounds very confident. They don't want to talk about that plan, but that's fine. And then EV competition. I've been beating this drum for 6 years. Don't discount the Chinese automakers because they are going to be the ones that are the direct threat. This is like the 70s and 80s with the Japanese automakers. Like, they're going to build really good products and they're going to make inroads into the US market and North American market and Europe and stuff like that, much like Toyota did. And then even, you know, Kia and Hyundai, like when I was in high school, those were cars that were basically throwaway cars. And now they're really good brands and they build a really good car. So don't discount these folks. All right, next up, we have a small little bit of information on Model E. However, there's not a lot. We didn't get a lot of information. It's just a little piece. So I included it because it was the only piece. So let's listen to it.
Maybe just to switch gears on Model E, if I can ask Jim a question. You've got this target of 8%, and that 8% margin target presumably has some assumptions for where costs will go, but also where pricing is going to go. And just considering everyone's aspirations for growth in EVs, do you think you can stand by those pricing assumptions? Or maybe a different way of asking this is, do you think you can sell a $40,000 electric crossover with a 20% gross margin?
That is a very important question. The reality is we are structuring our portfolio to compete in very specific segments. The two-row crossover is, you know, turning out to be the Corolla Civic of the EV business. And, you know, the last thing we want to do is commoditize our products by dropping their price. Just look at what happened to Henry Ford in the 20s and the early teens. And that's exactly what we're seeing play out here. We didn't have to touch the pricing at all for Lightning and E-Transit because we picked the right segments. But the real driver of our future profitability on Model E is these second cycle products. We didn't know what we didn't know when we designed these first three products. We didn't know that our wiring harness for Mach-E was 1.6 kilometers longer than it needed to be. We didn't know it's 70 pounds heavier and that that's worth $300 a battery. We didn't know that we underinvested in braking technology to save on the battery size. We didn't know that we needed the world's best aerodynamicist to get the size of the battery smaller. And so now we have learned a lot, and that second cycle of the product is in, you know, the factory right now being developed with, you know, a lot of new talent. So I'm very optimistic about our 8% because we are not going to be playing in the two-row commodity SUV market because Ford tried that in the ICE business. Didn't really work out for us. We want to play our hand, our strength, commercial, truck, larger vehicles on the category side. We do not want to have too many top hats because that costs a lot to engineer. We want to have minimum choice for customers, but we want to design the smallest possible battery for competitive size, and we want to invest differently in our ICE business for radical simplification. You know, 30, 40, 50% less fasteners, no brackets in the vehicle. I can go on and on. We'll get into it at Capital Markets Day. I think we should expect all brands to protect growth when it comes to EV, and that for we have to expect negative pricing. And that means software and other items like that become even more critical. I can't wait to show you our new electric architecture, because to me that's the most critical strategic investment the company is making. Not our batteries, not the EV platforms, but our new fully updatable electric architecture. Because what we've learned on Pro is we can make real money on software.
You know, something that I just kind of took for granted was that Ford has been an automaker for a really long time, something 100 plus years or whatever it is, right? The Mach-E is a really good car. I didn't realize how many things that could be improved in that car. Now, obviously, Ford's first electric vehicle or real electric vehicle that's compelling, because they didn't have one kind of before that. Ford's first electric vehicle that was compelling there's going to be some things they can improve on. It sounds like there's a lot that can be improved on for the Mach-E. So that was interesting. And I'm sure there's, you know, similar things that can be improved with the F-150 Lightning as well. And we'll see their improvements in the future. I'm excited to hear about Ford's new EV architecture and platform. Sounds like there's going to be a lot of improvements, and it sounds like they're going to rely heavily on software updates. They really hit software hard this earnings call. So we're going to go to our last clip, which is basically about software. So let's listen in.
We were guessing before, but now we kind of know what the first three shippable large TAM software revenue sources are for our industry. The first is partial autonomy. The second is safety and security. And the third is productivity. And the star pupil in there, the early leader, is definitely ADAS on pricing and revenue growth. I mean, the growth we're seeing, the demand we're seeing for BlueCruise and all ADAS features is really driving a lot of software shipment. We're about to ship our second cycle of BlueCruise already, and we are really starting to see that is clearly what customers want revenue-wise. And I do believe in this first, you know, 3-4 years of software to the car, that ADAS, that level 2, level 3 system is really the most remarkable, you know, TAM. However, in the background for Ford, the productivity software in Pro is really important. It's maybe unique to us, but it is a very important part of our software revenue, which we will lay out in May. You'll see more specifics on it, but it's very profitable. The customers love the data. And they have a higher demand for the data and the software than the retail customer. I think the slow burn, the one in the background that I'm super excited about, is the third leg of the stool of safety and security. Not like, you know, someone stole your car, but it's video content, you know, a lot of it tied to insurance. So this is going to be a really interesting area. Kind of think of your car as an extension of your Ring and all the safety and security you have in your house now, all that technology, you know, the car's going to be another node on that. It'll go for everything from, you know, teenage drivers to all sorts of things, and that video capture is going to be the essence. Another reason why we think our next electrical architecture is so strategically important for the company, because we want to embed that hardware and software and adaptability in the electric architecture so we can ship the software, better software than our competition on safety and security, even if it's a little fuzzy on what the features are today.
I don't know. You know, again, I like Jim Farley, but maybe you don't say, even if we don't know what the features are today. Well, they're a little fuzzy, the safety and security, but we have an idea as to what direction we're going to go in. I don't know. I'm looking forward to hearing what they're planning, and I'm sure we'll find out more in May. I'm guessing it's going to be something similar to Tesla's Sentry mode. But yeah, just kind of a funny way for him to put that. I really hope that Ford doesn't gouge people on BlueCruise. He mentioned level 2 and level 3 driving. I'm not sure that Ford's quite to that level 3 point, you know. With level 3 driving, you can actually be, it could be in certain areas you can be level 3 driving. So maybe there's one stretch of road in Nevada that allows you to do level 3 driving, and then the rest of it's just level 2. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I just really hope that they don't charge a bunch of money. I hope they don't charge $15,000 for these services, because I just think that's a disservice to the customer, and it's gross. So I think these companies should make money, but they shouldn't gouge the customers making money and then tout how safe this is for you, but yet only a few people can afford it. We'll actually get to use it. I'm not a big fan of that. Ford does let you use Blue Cruise, I think, for 2 years or 3 years, which is good. All right, everybody, that is it for us this week. If you want to email me, it's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. I also put all of the links as far as Allison's show and my other playlist, Shuffle Playlist. I put those links in the show notes, and I'm also going to put a link to Bart's website, which is bartofficer.net. Go check them out. They're really lovely people. Bart's been on the show before. Obviously, Allison's been on the show several times before. So I think you will come to love them as much as I do. They're wonderful people. All right, everybody, if you want to email me, it's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. You can find me on Twitter at 918digital. I hope you all have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you on Friday.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.